This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, how'd you like to start your show off with a hot fire there?
I don't know. Before I came in here, Kyle was showing me some pictures of Maui.
And how
it's burning, you know, and there's terrible smoke, unbelievable smoke and flames and the whole nine yards. Fires just don't start of their own accord in Maui. You know,
what is it? Is that from the volcano? I'm assuming
volcanoes. I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. But nobody's said anything.
That's why we haven't heard.
Maybe a volcano exploded or something. Who knows? I doubt it. They would have said. Somebody would have said
China.
Anyway, we're safe here in Roseburg and Douglas County, so don't sweat the program.
So far,
we're good, and I don't think any of the flames from Maui will get us. We're okay. So thank you for listening today. This is the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, and it's about garden tips and ideas and things like that. And if you have any questions about your yard and your garden or whatever, 673-4464 is the number to call. We'll get you right on. Ask your question, and I'll give you the correct answer, guaranteed. How's that?
Absolutely.
So, you know, where do you get guarantees like that around here? Anyway. But anyway, 673-4464. Another wonderful, hot, day, day here in Douglas County.
Did you hear about Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday coming up?
What?
Near 100.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, I love it.
You love it?
Yeah.
You're a sick individual, sir. You stay in this little air-conditioned box all day, that's why.
That's true, yeah.
I hope your car is 175 when you get in it.
It usually is.
And you get no air conditioning.
Oh, no, don't say that.
And then you can close all the windows.
That'll get rid of some of this gut.
Gosh, I don't know. Well, anyway, again this year, we have hot, dry conditions in our county. And, of course, there's little fires popping up all over. And the one down there in Agnes is just horrific. And that country down there is so straight up and down. I mean, those mountains, I mean, they're steeper than a cow's face, if you've heard that expression anywhere.
I've heard other expressions.
I drove through that took a back road out of Riddle years ago, and when I was working for BLM, and we were cruising timber up in that area, and the two guys I was working with, I was the young country bumpkin, you know, and they said, yeah. I said, where does this road go? He said, oh, it goes to the coast. I said, oh, really? Yeah.
Let's go.
So I went home, told my wife, I said, hey, we're going to go to the coast on a different route. And we started out, and we drove, and there was no signs.
Or gas stations.
Gas stations or cafes or anything else, and we drove, And, you know, it was getting, thinking, geez, Louise, I hope I didn't miss the right road, because there's other roads that, you know, cut off from that, but that none of them had signs. So I stayed on the most, looked like the most traveled road.
Yeah.
And, a couple of hours went by, because you can't drive real fast. And all of a sudden, boom, I looked down in this canyon, because we were way up on this ridge. And I looked down in this canyon, and I saw the Rogue River. And I thought, hoo-hoo,
Mama
we
mia.
Are okay. We're headed in the right direction. But it's still about, another 25 minutes till we got down off that mountain, crossed the Rogue River, and we're on the south side of the Rogue River headed toward whatever town that is, Gold Beach. And finally saw Agnes, and I went, oh, man, we're okay, Marianne. Don't worry about it. She says, about time.
I don't have very fond memories of that area.
Why?
Well, we went camping when I was just a little kid, 5, 6.
Yeah.
And we were going to Agnes, somewhere up there anyway, go camping up in those hills that you were describing.
Those hills, straight up and down hills.
Yeah, and the car caught fire.
Oh, gosh.
Lord have mercy. It was so hot that summer, too.
Yeah. Oh. You didn't burn the forest down, did you?
No. Fortunately, thank God for the log truck drivers. They came and had a fire.
Well, yeah. They're well equipped.
Yes. They came around at the right time and put that stinking fire out.
Right, and they got chainsaws in case they had to cut your car in half, you know, and put the burning part to one side. You could slip to the other side.
Here.
Yeah, this is a lawn and garden show, by the way.
It's a hot one.
Oh, gosh. So it's hot, and then my co-host, or I was going to say cohort here, said something about 100 degrees here in the next few days, and that's not my cup of tea. So, but anyway, be aware of your yard and adjacent vacant lots that might be on your block or somewhere with this dead dry grass that's at least 2 feet tall, sometimes 3 feet tall. And as I drive around and I see empty lots, I see and there's houses with people living on either side of these empty lots, and nobody's mowing this stuff. It's just sitting there, and I'm wondering. Uh-oh. Now, that would be a good ordinance. You know, everybody's hep on making all these rules and regulations.
Right.
Well, there should be a rule or regulation that says, hey, if there's a vacant lot, somebody's got to mow it, like the owner, or hire the adjacent homeowner to mow that lot so some weirdo doesn't throw a match in it and burn the neighborhood down.
And you know they would.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a few of them out there and around now, you know. But, you know, if you see something like this in your neighborhood, you might want to talk to the adjacent homeowner or maybe the home. You know, there's some older homes that's what their lawn looks like in their front yard. You know, 2 foot dry grass. And, you know, who knows who's going to walk by and flip a cigarette in there or a match or something else just for the thrill of seeing flames, you know, that kind of thing. But you want to be aware, just be aware, and it's something that we all need to look out for. And like I say, if you see these conditions, it would be smart to remove it with a mower, a weed eater. Not a mower so much, because there's too many metal parts of it. A weed eater.
Yeah.
I don't know if weed eaters starting fires. Maybe they do, but it's only a plastic deal, so... But, and anyway, my daughter from Texas and her husband, they live in Texas, but they bought a home here in Roseburg here recently.
Oh, they're moving back?
Well, it's going to be one of those Airbnbs.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
And it's it's up on, off a terrace, up on the hills
nice
up there.
Nice area.
Yeah, it's an older home, and there's not a flat spot in it except the living room. I mean, the lot is what you would call sloping. Very sloping, and that dead, dry grass is surrounding it, and I'm thinking, I told my son-in-law, I said, hey, you need to do something with that. Get it mowed, get it weeded, mm-hmm. get something done. You don't want that hanging around your house like that. So.
You don't want the fire of 2020.
No, because it's a large yard, and there's, you know, nicer, more expensive homes surrounding their small home and that they purchased. And it's, I just see this stuff naturally because I know how this stuff happens. It doesn't take much.
No.
And if there was also in this yard there's these huge, it's a pretty big yard, pretty big lot, and there's these huge ponderosa pines. There must be half a dozen of them, maybe 10 of them.
They're just ripe.
Yeah, and they're like 3 feet in diameter and 100 and something feet tall, and with all the dry needles falling on the ground, and I'm going,
yeah.
Oh, geez, Louise. Why did anybody plant these? But you know, they're probably naturals because that whole neighborhood is got some of them, but this yard's got, like I say, at least five that I can remember, maybe seven of them, and they're huge. They're big. You fall on your house there, buddy. Oh gosh.
No.
But it isn't, you know, one of the older neighborhoods up towards Terrace. Not, it's off of Hawthorne, and you go to the up the hill on Hawthorne, mm-hmm. off of Kane, I guess it is.
Yeah.
I got lost 3 times trying to find this place.
Yeah.
There's so many little streets up there.
I used to deliver papers up there, and you took a while to get used to all the twists and
yeah,
turns.
Yeah, twists and turns everywhere.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. But anyway, it's dead grass season, so be aware, and be aware in your neighborhood. And, you know, it's something that would be good to do just to alert your neighbors who maybe are not paying attention, or they don't realize that the potential hazard that it might be.
Or they just can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility as well. And I'm surprised, you know, the city of Roseburg has so many ordinances, and the city of Winston has so many ordinances, but I maybe they have it and nobody's paying attention to it, but I would surely make an ordinance that says, hey, vacant lots, they need to be mowed at least, you know, three times a year, early spring, late spring, and early summer. Keep the dead grass down, you know.
You would think they do.
Yeah, now that's a common sense kind of thing.
Well, you know what happens to common sense?
I'm not going to say. this is a children's show.
Yes, that's darn.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, some of those adjacent homes are, you know, fairly expensive homes and large homes, and there's no way in this world that they're going to sit there if there's dry grass on fire. So, you know, it's just like, man, oh, man. But also in my travels around, I also know all the shrubs and stuff that are up against homes, and I've spoken about this many times.
Yeah.
But older shrubs, you know, they've been in there for 10 or 15 years and are, you know, up above the window, or they're, you know, and they're real close to the foundation of a wooden house and that kind of thing. Just for beauty and safety, think about pruning those things into a manageable size so that they're not a potential torch a bug hotel, you know, which that's more likely. But it's good to, you know, observe these things. And, geez, Louise, overgrown shrubs. And I see, you know, a lot of that, of course. My mind and my eye go right to it as I'm driving through Roseburg or Winston or Sutherland. Every town has it. And, you know, like I say, they're too close. Many of them are too close, and I've always preached when people are buying plants and they say, well, we want this many and we're going to do this. And I say, how big is the bed? And they say, well, it's 2 feet wide and we're going to put them a foot from the house. I said, don't, for the reasons I just gave.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you do have any big ones, cut them back. If you shouldn't have a 6 foot shrub right next to your home. Okay. I mean, right next to your home where some of the branches, the inner branches are actually resting upon the wood siding or plastic siding or
saying hello through the window.
Yeah. Waving in the wind, you know? And the same thing with, tree branches growing over the roof. And I mentioned that from a different perspective, last week or the week before, as far as your gutters being clogged with old leaves and branches and twigs and things like that. Well, just think of it as a fire hazard as well. That should click with you. Take a close look at your yard. Walk around and say, hey, is there a potential if there were a fire down the street, or, you know, something weird happened,
right,
a lightning strike, who knows? You know, what condition is my yard in? What condition is my home in relation to my yard? And do some things, some simple things, that will help alleviate any potential hazard.
Right.
We got a break?
Yep, we do.
Okay, we'll be back.
Well, why isn't that working?
Hey, it's not working.
No. We're going to have to call it tech in here. Oh, there it is.
It's sleeping.
I think it.
It's sleeping. It's okay.
Yeah, it's hot. All right. We'll be right back. What's our phone number?
673-4464. How come you always forget it?
I don't know. I was going to say something about our president, but anyway, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Have your questions ready.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back, and we need phone calls, my friend.
Yes, at 673-4464. Any question about your landscape I can help you with? I've only done 10,000 of them, so I've got a little experience at least.
Mm.
But also, getting along on our drought schedule here, due to the lack of the rain and, you know, coupled with these months of hot, dry weather, I'm already seeing trees beginning to color up and lose their leaves.
Uh-oh.
In other words, it looks like an early fall pattern. I mean, the leaves are not drying up, and I'm primarily talking about big leaf maple, which mm-hmm. is a predominant tree species here in Douglas County.
Yeah.
But especially out at my place where I walk around and I'll run the dog up the hill or something like that. And there's those that are on south-facing or west-facing slopes where it's drier and more sunny all day. I'm seeing some of the leaves already yellowing up and beginning to drop.
Mm.
Not a large percentage, but it just seems like in the last week and a half or 2 weeks, I'm beginning to see this. And so if this hot, dry weather continues, which they say it is, you know, more and more of that will be happening. So the trees, they're not dying, but what they are doing is that they're dropping leaves to preserve whatever water or energy that they have in the soil so that they can stay alive through the winter and come back next spring and be fine. I'm sure there will be, you know, some maybe smaller ones that are, you know, 5 or 10 years old that are seedlings that don't have the developed root system to sustain them through the hot, dry weather. But I'm looking at older ones, you know, and when I say older ones, 50 years and older.
Oh, wow.
You know, the bigger ones with the big trunks and stuff like that and multiple branches.
I hate to say it, but that's still younger than I am.
Well, me too, but but we're not as big as they are. So.
No, we're not.
But don't panic if you see some of your trees begin to have that fall color pattern. And this morning I went out to the back end of my used to be nursery to see if the new owner was watering the trees out there.
Is she?
Not as much as she should.
Uh-oh.
And so some of the small maples and the larger Japanese maples I planted 3 years ago that are 6 and 7 feet tall, their leaves are starting to color up
as
well.
You got to tell her.
I do. And somehow it doesn't get relayed down to the employees that she has, and it's a simple irrigation system, but you have to turn a couple valves to get it in the right spot, and they quite haven't figured it out apparently. So they're not going to die, but they're in premature fall pattern right now,
and they don't have to be.
No, this usually doesn't occur till mid-September, 1st of October.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're a month ahead of schedule, you might say.
You may have to take over again.
No, thank you. what I will do is get there early and turn on the pump and water them, and they can show up for work and go, how come the water's on? Then I can explain it to them.
Yeah, this is what you do.
Yeah, this, come on now.
This is cold water.
Yes.
Nice.
But... Oh, golly. But, you know, it's important if you have some trees in your yard that are small and recently planted, say, in the last 3 years, and you see some of this, give them an extra shot of water. I know I'm the guy that harps on overwatering all the time, but it has been so hot, so dry, that a little bit of overwater in specifically applied to the base of a young tree that's that looks like it's turning into fall prematurely, a good drink would really help them out and strengthen them, you know, into the next month or so, or however this warm weather should last. So,
forever.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, they're tough, but they're not, you know, they're not in plastic. They don't just stay green because they're dead. I mean, it's like...
No, it's true.
But they are losing their leaves because they want to survive, and that's their method of survival is to drop leaves. That way there's no photosynthesis taking place, there's no food production taking place, and consequently, you know, their system, if you will, just shuts down. It says, okay, we're done for the year. we're going to hibernate now for the next 6 months.
I wish I could just shut down in the winter.
Well, you could, but it would be painful.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah. But if you have a well-irrigated yard, this is not happening. You know, it just isn't, because I go by hundreds of homes every day, and, you know, the yard looks good, the grass is green, the trees and the shrubs are looking good because they irrigate. They have a sprinkler system, or they're out there with a hose in the evening, whatever. And so they're okay because they have sufficient soil moisture, and the tree still can produce its food, et cetera, and the root system is still active, and consequently it's still growing.
Mm-hmm. So,
but, you know, you've got to keep up that that level of soil moisture for that to continue. So, but, and you can see, you know, you can drive out Melrose Road or any road and just, you know, something where the traffic's not going to be on your bumper wanting to pass you because you're going slow to look at trees, you know, which happens to me all the time. I say, get off my tail, buddy. I'm looking at the trees.
You don't ever turn around and wave at them with one finger?
No, I do not do that. I do not do that.
Gee, I don't either.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the flip side of that is I remember one year when it rained. And when it was, the fair was on.
Oh, yeah.
And it poured.
Almost the whole
week. And my kids were all small.
Yeah.
Oh, going to the fair. So we took them to the fair. We were drenched in no time at all. And they're on these rides, you know, whipping around backwards and forwards and upside down. And it's raining like cats and dogs on them. And they're grinning and they're having a great time. But after a while, it got to them. They said, maybe we want to go home now.
Yeah.
It's good. It's about time, for crying out loud. I had to swim to my car. You know, geez,
I remember that year. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. It was, gosh, it's 20 some odd years ago, maybe 30 years ago, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
My kids, like I say, some of them were, you know, 3 and 4 years old. So, and they're all 90 or something now.
No, yeah. Sure. They're older than you are.
Yeah, they're older than I don't know how that happened. Oh, golly. But, and my question is this, you know, you hear about cloud seeding to cause rain. Why don't we do that in Oregon? I mean, we have sufficient cloudy days, even in the spring and the summer.
Yep.
Why can't we seed those clouds and have, I don't know how it works.
I don't know either.
But, you know, but it does work. It happens in other places.
Oh, it's actually a truth, not a myth.
No.
Myth.
Yeah, it's not a myth. It's a truth.
Myth.
And it would seem to me that if we have that capability, that knowledge, we got an airport, you know, what do you do? You go up and you go through the clouds or on top of the clouds and dump these crystals, some kind of crystal thing, and rain begins. You know, how in the world that happens? I have no clue, but it happens. And I think that would be a good idea if we as a state, you know, California, Oregon, Washington, maybe even Nevada, I don't know.
I was thinking of Nevada, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, seed the clouds, get some summer rains, you know. Don't have to do it every week, but you can do it when we have these long stretches of hot, dry weather. And I don't think seeding the clouds causes lightning. I haven't heard of that, but you never
probably
know.
Probably some kind of pollution. Oh, they'll come up with some kind of pollution.
Yeah, we're going to kill the salmon or something in the middle of the desert. But, you know, but there is a plus side to these sunny, warm days, is that our vegetable gardens are still producing food like in a factory, for crying out loud.
Tomatoes still going?
Oh, gosh, tomatoes, zucchinis. I've eaten more zucchini this year than grows in Africa, for crying out loud, you know. But the way my wife fixes it, it's good. You
it's
know?
Good. It's, that's
yeah,
what
yeah,
you
some
said.
Onions,
yeah.
Maybe a little bit of grated Parmesan cheese on it. And,
okay.
Hey, all right. Doesn't taste so bad.
A little salt.
Yeah, salt, some pepper, you know, hot sauce, whatever, to disguise the taste of the zucchini.
Always some ketchup.
Oh, no. God forbid. No. But I have a relatively small garden, but man, we eat fresh tomatoes, fresh zucchini, fresh this, fresh that every night. And my wife is big on salads. Oh boy. But I'm getting tired of zucchini soup, you know? It's you got to strain it through your teeth. Cause
a little stringy, is it?
And we only, no, yeah, I was exaggerating. And we only have one zucchini plant, but it produces ten of them a day, for crying out loud. I mean, I go out there and I look at it and go, where did they come from? They weren't there yesterday. Yeah. Well,
Myrtle is Myrtle the turtle.
Yeah, we're going to pump them out, boy. Watch out. And your wife's going to cook them for you, partner.
Yeah. Good.
But on the plus side, the fresh tomatoes and the onions are all very good. I like that. So, you know, keep the water going on your garden. Enjoy that fresh food for as long as it lasts. And I guess with the warmer weather and proper irrigation, if the plants are healthy, I guess they'll continue. I don't know how long they'll continue. They're basically annual plants. They die at the end of their season, but who knows when the season's going to end, for goodness sakes.
I would think corn loves this weather.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I guess, Broside, you know, I talk about Broside Fruit Stand. I haven't been over to where Cruz's Fruit Stand is yet, but Broside looks like what's that big store out there? Oh, gosh, my mind went
I
blank.
I don't know.
Out there north of town, the big one, the giant one with the giant parking lot. Okay, forget
it. I got
hey, you're worse
president's than, disease.
You're worse than me. But, you know, it's you can keep that garden going, and you're going to have more than you can eat. But, you know, now that we're in August, you can start a fall garden. And you go, fall garden, it's not, you can't. Yes, you can. The only problem is you won't find little starter plants. You'll have to do it by seed.
Okay.
Buy some seeds at the co-op or somewhere like that, and plant some more tomatoes or plant some more zucchini or plant some more green peppers, whatever the seeds. And with this long period of warm, sunny weather, in a month you'll have tomatoes. I mean, maybe 5-6 weeks for sure you'll have fresh tomatoes, and that only takes us into what, the end of September, maybe.
September, yeah.
And if the weather pattern holds, you're looking at good weather clear through October, for crying out loud. And so you can extend your garden life and your fresh vegetables, you know, for a long time if you plant it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never done it before, try it. See if it works.
What have you got to lose?
Yeah, that's just, something I've been thinking about and looking at and saying. And then I read an article on it, and I thought, yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense to me, too.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah, we got a break?
We do.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Well, speaking of calling, the number
673-4464 if you have a question.
News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, we're back. Plants, gardens, lawns, what have you.
And all kinds of other subjects that we shouldn't even be talking about, but that's what happens in here sometimes. You know, in the last segment, I was speaking about starting a fall garden and having fresh vegetables, like maybe until Thanksgiving. So, you know, you can take advantage of the sun and the warm days because they're, you know, going to be here for another month, probably at least.
I hope so.
No, I don't.
I know, but I enjoy this warmer weather.
Well, that's because you don't grow stuff.
No, no.
If you grew stuff, if you had a nursery or a farm, you'd want a little bit of rain.
I got that stinking China vine that doesn't seem to bother anyone.
No, it can grow out of concrete. You know?
Yes.
But anyway, even with this warm weather and thinking it's the endless summer, in the meantime, if you're considering a new landscape for your yard, begin the planning process now. You can plan, you know, for months and get ready for next spring when it's gardening time or landscaping time again. And you could probably hit it a little bit this fall should the weather get cooler. Right now with the high temperatures, it's a risk if you've never planted before shrubs or trees or that kind of thing. It's a risk that you're going to take because, number one, the ground is hard. It's it's very labor intensive work, you know, you got to do it just right, or that plant, whatever it might be, a $100 Japanese maple or a $9.95 juniper. The juniper has a better chance, but the $100 Japanese maple, if you don't treat it right and plant it correctly in the heat, you're going to have problems with it, and it could possibly pass on to the next generation. So
never land.
That's right. But like I say, you can consider you know, a new landscape and begin the planning process now. In other words, sketching things out, driving around in your neighborhood and looking at the yards that you say, hey, that's a pretty yard. I've always thought that's a pretty yard. And maybe talk to the homeowner and say, you know, ask them questions about, well, did you do this? And if so, how did you put the lawn in? Or how did you, what kind of shrubs are those? Or they're always looking good and they're always nice and green. How do you take care of them? You know, just get some good standard information, especially in these new home developments where, you know, they're done with the home and they got a vacant dirt yard out there front and back. Well, if you don't have a little bit of knowledge and you go out and spend a bundle on plants and just dig holes and stick them in the ground, the chances of good survival are slim to none. Unless you have some experience or consult with a a person such as myself or a nursery guy or another landscape guy, on, hey, what's the correct way to do this? Or should I even do it now? Or should I wait for another month for cooler mornings and cooler days? You know, if it's in the 70s or something like that at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, hey, that's great. And it drops down to, you know, 39 at night or 38 and cools off and it's maybe a little foggy and so you've got moisture in the air. They stand a much better chance of survival. It's that easy. But it's still, like I say, too hot, too dry to begin a major overhaul on your yard.
Costco, was that this?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I went blank.
I did too, and it just popped in there.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you helped me out there. I was trying to think of landscape plan for these folks over here on the other side of the river. And the lady wanted a particular ground cover along the retaining wall, and I looked it up and I thought, I don't know, okay. But I gave her an alternative.
Yeah.
And for the life of me, I planted only thousands of them. I couldn't think of the name, for crying out loud.
Oh, I hate that.
So I had to get my big Western garden book and go into the section with all the color pictures and find the plant and see the name. And I go, geez Louise. You know, so I could say this would be a better plant for that. It can take the drought, it can take the sun, it can take the heat, and it blooms all summer clear into the you know, when it gets cold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so what was the name of it?
I'm not going to tell you. You have to guess.
It wasn't Costco.
No, it wasn't Costco. But you know, for the major overhaul, wait, and so that you're not going to work in the hot sun for hours and hours and hours trying to accomplish something and maybe having little to no success. Just be patient, but do the planning process. Get a couple of landscape magazines. They've got them at the box stores and just about everywhere, you know, say landscaping for your home or whatever. Yeah. And they've got color photos and they've got descriptions of the plants and, you know, this is how big they get. This is what they need. They need full sun. They need full shade. You know, it gives you all the good basic information. And then you can look at your yard with that perspective and say, I like this plant in here and it'll work in this particular area. And if I get, you know, three or four of them in that area, that's a nice thing to have.
Yeah.
And again, the neighborhood that you're living in, you walk around and you talk to your neighbors who have a yard that you have admired because it's neat, it's clean, it's simple, colorful, you know, it's got all the ramifications of, yeah, that's what I want. You know, that's kind of cool. And people, I have found that gardeners, when I get a call about something and go to this person's house and you drive into it and park there and you go, gee whiz, the yard is nice. Why are they calling me? You know, because obviously they've been doing this themselves. You know, even with all the knowledge I've had over the years, I get into a yard and there'll be one or two items that I'll go, what in the world's that called? And they'll go, oh, that's a Flammajamet humulabit. And I'll go, oh,
from
man.
China.
From Japan. This one's from Japan.
Oh.
Maybe Lithuania. I don't know. But But that's a good way to learn things. And you can see, hey, that plant in that spot, it's in full sun or it's in full shade or half and half or whatever. You know how you can rate how hardy it is and say, hey, that would work at my house. That would work in this place or in that spot in my yard. And it's a fun way to meet your neighbors and get an education at the same time of what's good to grow around here and how old is it, how fast does it grow, and then there'll be yards with the high dead grass in it that you want to avoid like the plague. Want to go there
like COVID. Did you hear that's coming back?
It's coming back, sure. You must have heard it from the government. Yeah.
Well, Fox News.
Yeah. No, Fox News didn't say that. come on. But look at the existing landscapes. Look at the city park. Go by and look at the shopping center. Costco would be a good place. Look at what they got growing there along the highway and in the interior part of their landscapes. Look at the places that are well landscaped, and you'll just get a lot of ideas. And like I say, if you don't know the names, and you can ask somebody and write it down, have a little pad. That this one will work in full sun in a hot place, and needs a little care, mm-hmm. blah blah blah, and so that you don't have to go through a whole bunch of failure going to
trial and error.
Yeah, trial and error. So, I like that, and you buy it. You ask a question sometimes to folks at box stores, and they really don't know the answer. They're there just to sell the plants and.
Well, they're in a learning process.
Well, it could be, or they're just there to work the cash register. I mean, they're young people that just don't have the experience, mm-hmm. and
putting in the hours.
Like if they've sent me into the TV section to sell TVs, I say, yeah, that's a good one. Buy it. Yeah. Well, does it have RET2 Wi-Fi? I say, heck, I don't know. Whatever the heck that is.
It works when you plug it in.
Yeah, just turn the switch, man. It's okay. Some of them can't even find the switch, for crying
out loud. Oh, I know. Don't get me started.
We got a remote that I still don't know how to work all the buttons on it.
I know.
I give it to my wife and say, would you change it to such and such? Or, come on. It's crazy stuff.
I know. Yes.
I'm not good at that stuff, and I don't want
to
be
neither.
Good at stuff.
I used to be in the 80s.
Well, you got this board. There's about 5,000 buttons on this board he runs, and you do a good job on that.
Well,
but
did you hear that, Kyle?
Yeah, he does a good job, Kyle. I don't know anything when it comes to that, and I'm not interested in that. So, but anyway, see what interests you, and see if it can fit in your yard. Great landscapes originate in your mind. I mean, visualize get a picture in your mind about, hey, this is what I want my yard to look like. I want more shade, or I got too much shade now. How do I eliminate some of it and put in other things that aren't going to be, some of these homes I see, especially over in Laurelwood and mm-hmm. those areas, they got this massive trees. I mean, and a lot of them, they got huge branches hanging over the roofs and things like that. And I go, and that's a catastrophe waiting to happen. But, 100 years ago when they built those houses, they were perfect. they worked really
perfect
good.
Perfect size with a big house.
Yeah, exactly. But they grow, man.
The house doesn't.
Yeah, they don't. We got a break?
We do.
Okay, we'll be back.
Our final break, and still time for you to call.
673-4464, any questions, fair game.
News Radio 93.9 FM, 1240, KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back with the show.
Yes, we got about, 6-7 minutes, 8 minutes, something like that?
Somewhere in there.
Well, I got 3 pages of notes. I'm not going to be able to cover that, so I'll save it for next week. So we'll just sit here and sit here in silence.
You've been out to the fair yet, by the way?
No, I'm going to go tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
Craig Morgan Day.
Who's he?
Country artist.
Oh, good. Perfect. I'll go.
There you go. Yeah.
Thank you for telling me. But
I thought you were going to go when the 38 special's there.
No, I don't think so. I got a 357, so you know what the heck.
They had a hit, too? No.
No. Now, if you need ideas and you want to learn new plants and you don't talk to your neighbors, like I was saying in the last segment, or, you know, what styles of landscaping are available, have a consultation with a professional. That's what I do. I mean, I draw plans and I consult. I don't own the landscaping business anymore. I don't own the nursery anymore. But on my sideline, I talk to people and tell them what they can do with their yard, how they can do it, and give them all the instructions they need. And they pay me a fee, and I'm off and running. And there's other people that I don't know who at this point. You'd have to kind of go through the yellow pages and call a few of them and find out. But a consultation or a master plan is a lot of time, and it's a little bit costly. But a consultation, usually $100 to $200, and you spend a couple hours there, and you draw some sketches, and you give them a list of plants and where to put them and how to plant them. And it's all verbal information, and it works good, and the customer's satisfied, and they get it done. So there's that available. And you know, it's in my 50-year career as a professional, I think I've consulted and designed thousands of landscapes here in Douglas County. So I know the mistakes I made, and I corrected them. And I didn't make very many of them. At first, the first year, I stumbled around a bit, bit off more than I could chew or swallow, and learned from that, because I was just me. I was me, the boss, the crew, and everything else all rolled into one.
One man band.
Yeah, oh, you cannot do it. When four semis full of bark show up and start dumping them on your project, and you go, wow, I didn't know it was going to be that big of a truck. Yeah, and my wheelbarrow said, help, I got to get out of here.
Christmas early.
Yeah. But, you know, it's consulting and designing is available to you. Like I say, it's relatively inexpensive. And a good consultant can point you in the direction of where you can obtain different materials and who grows the best of these and who has the most of those. And it's pretty easy to do. And there actually are some good deals and values you can find at the box stores. You know, I sometimes make fun of them and all that, but there are plants there that you know, kind of left over from the springtime, but they're tough, they're good, they're hardy, they're still living,
and they're probably on sale,
and they're probably half price, is what I was going to say. So you can score well, and you know, even though it's hot, buy them and take them and put them in the shade at your house and keep them watered, and when it rains and it's cool and it's going into the fall, you can plant them.
You got a bargain.
So it doesn't happen except in times of, it's not spring, you know, so and we're going into fall. We got to get rid of this stuff.
Yep.
And that's a good time to take advantage of that. So
yeah, clean out that inventory.
Yeah. Yeah. But, when you're doing this, planning part, you got to ask a lot of questions to do it correctly. You not only want to know what types of plants grow here, but you know what the soil types we have, what's the proper planting for successful growth, mm-hmm. and how to maintain your landscape for long-term results. I mean, those are, if you're the first time homeowner and you're, you know, 25 or 26 years old and you've never done it before, those are good basic things to learn. And even if you have a portion of the land, the rough work done at your home, mm-hmm. and you do the finish work, you know, with the information, you can finish it nicely. It may not be 100% look like a professional job, but it'll be above average.
It works.
Yeah, it'll be above average, and it works. Yeah. And it's good. But Douglas County, you know, as I've said in the past,
we've got so good clay.
Oh, we got the best clay in the world. I'm surprised we don't have a pottery factory here.
Now we could probably use some of it now.
Yeah. But, you know, the soil, like my friend here just said, is predominantly clay soil. So anything you plant has to have a proper soil mix in order to live and grow. It's that simple. So you're mixing potting soil, you're mixing peat moss old fine grind bark and maybe a little bit of sand. You mix that all in the same hole and you come up with a really good, well-drained, nutritious place. You put a new plant in there that's been living under those same conditions in a nursery, because you got to have, you know, everything top level and when you're growing plants, so they grow and they look nice. So you don't want to transfer something that's growing really well in ideal conditions to just a hole in the ground surrounded by clay, because it's not going to make it. It's not gonna make it for 3 weeks, you know. It's just like, whoop, and we can't live here.
Yeah, no thank you.
That's why proper soil preparation and planting is so critical if you want it to grow. It's simple. That way you're going to have great results on anything you can plant as long as you follow some basic directions. And in some of these books that I was talking about in, you know, landscaping your own home or doing your own landscaping or whatever the titles are, they'll actually have you know, photos in there or pictures of some sort showing you illustrations of what I've been talking about. And you go, oh, yeah, I can do that. Or you can see it. I'm the type of guy, if I see it, I got it. If somebody tells it to me, I still got questions about it until I try it. But if I see a photo of it or somebody shows me a photo of it, hey, I'm good to go. I can duplicate that. So where are we at?
We got 2 seconds.
2 seconds. Thanks for listening. I got much more to say next week. Bye bye.
Not going to. You're just going to leave us there.
What do I say?
You're not going to tease us of what's going to come up next week.
I'm going to talk about bears.
Well, Fitz, Alaska.
Oh yeah.
See.
Alaska.
Alaska T-shirt.
Alaska T-shirt. It's raining up there.
Oh, is it?
Oh yeah. Glaciers are melting and it's raining.
Well, that's true. It is 5 o'clock afternoon report time next.